Well, good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to the CMI School of Christ. And we're going to continue with our class, The Purpose for the Soul, The Appearing of Christ. And before we continue, I would just like to say that it is a privilege to be able to share the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ with you. And before we go into our lesson, I would like to ask those two questions that I always ask, because I never know who's going to be watching these videos or listening to them for the first time. And these questions, they're just two very simple questions, but they are so important to the purpose for the soul. And this goes way beyond this class, this lesson. It goes way beyond a theme. It goes way beyond a subject. It goes way beyond even the phraseology, deeper life. This goes way beyond all those things. It goes to the very purpose of God for creating the soul of man. So our first question is this. The question is, are you born again? And if your answer is, well, I think I am, or no, then I say you must be born again. We've covered this new birth in previous classes in more detail, but it's basically simply this. There's a verse in 1 John that says, he who has the Son hath the life. If Christ is not present within the soul, then life is not present within the soul, okay? So, and if one's not born again, they must be born again, that life would appear where there was no life before. All right, now new birth is the beginning of purpose, because purpose, Christ himself, has appeared in the soul. All right, so the soul has begun in purpose with the very first appearing of Christ as life, as salvation in the soul. All right, now the next question is, for those of us who are born again. And my question is simply this. Are you knowing the life that you have been birthed of? Are you knowing the life that you have received? Are you knowing the indwelling Christ? If you are born again, Christ is in you. Christ dwells in your soul. Christ is in his house. The question is, are you knowing this Christ? And of course, we have looked at in previous classes in more detail that there is a spiritual order to knowing. If you do not see, then you do not know. You must see that you may know. Okay? And that is not a seeing from without, a viewing from without with a natural eye, hearing from without with a natural ear, comprehending with the natural mind, the natural brain. No, this is a seeing with the soul. Jesus said in his Gospels, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Well, everybody around him had ears, so he was obviously speaking to those who had an ear where their soul was actually attentive, hearing. Okay? And I think it's Paul who said in Philippians, the eye of your understanding, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Okay, that is the exact same thing. All right, so now no man can know this Christ, this indwelling Christ, except the Father reveal him. Please listen, the light of life must appear. And we have covered that in a previous class, where that is the first thing that God does in his creation, according to the testimony we find in Genesis chapter 1. After God creates his creation, the very first thing that the Spirit of God does is let there be light. Okay, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God found in the face of Jesus Christ. All right, so we're just going to be looking at that for this class, the light of life. But those are the two main questions that I always have. Okay, and I have covered in previous classes. We can gain knowledge about Jesus through the reading of the Scriptures. In fact, I encourage every single one of us to read the Scriptures, because as Jesus said in John 5:39, they are they that testify of me. If we don't search for the testimony of Christ, then how will our hearts be, how will in our hearts there be birth and expectation to behold this very Christ? It is only based upon the testimony that there's birthed in our hearts this expectation to behold this Christ, that our hearts would turn unto the Lord, that the veil would be removed, and we would behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So do search the Scriptures. But staying with searching the Scriptures is only the knowing and learning about Jesus. There must be the Father by His Spirit revealing that very indwelling Son, revealing that very indwelling Christ. So if you see a testimony of Jesus in the Scriptures, at that moment the heart is to pray. At that moment the heart is to cry out unto the Lord, God, Father, reveal Your Son in me. Reveal the same one that I'm seeing right here in the testimony. Reveal Him in me, because He is in me. And now the goal isn't, the goal is never reveal Your Son in me so that, I'll just fill in the blank, so that I may grow, so that I may preach, so that I may grow spiritually, so that I may have a better understanding, so that I may have a ministry, so that I may do this, so I may do that, so I may change. All those things are automatics. All those things that the Christian religion of man that preaches automatics. All those things are automatic in the appearing of Christ. The goal is always the appearing of Christ, nothing less. All these things are automatic. Their growth is automatic. When the light, look at it in the natural, when light, the sunlight, the natural sunlight, when light is present, there is natural growth. You know, there are all the elements found there for natural growth. If you put out the light of the sun, nothing will grow. You who plant, you who take care of plants and all things like that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If there's no light, there's no life. Okay? So, once again, all these things are automatic. Growth, a child grows day by day by day. So also automatically in the appearing of Christ, the appearing of the day, the appearing of the light of life, there's automatic growth. But the goal is never these things. The goal is the appearing of Christ Himself. The goal is Christ Himself. So then, on with our class. I have this title as The Light of Life. And what we've been doing in the previous classes, we've just kind of been looking at the term sin and how it does not fit into the purpose for the soul. It does not fit into God's purpose for the soul, though the religion of man would keep us focused there, though the religion of man would keep us attentive upon these things versus attentive upon Christ. All right, so I just want to start by reading in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, is basically just continuing reading. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Okay. Now I'd like to just look at a couple things here with this passage. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light. Christ is light. Christ is life. And I've got a couple of verses here just that declare that. This is John chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. This is speaking of Jesus Christ Himself. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through Him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. This was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Okay, right there in that passage, John 1, 4 through 9. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You can look at that term comprehended, and it basically means like this. To seize upon, to overtake. Okay, there's many, many different meanings, and these are just a couple that I'm going to give you right here. To seize upon, to overtake. The darkness comprehended it not. There is never a struggle when light is present. There is never a battle. Please understand, when light is present, there are struggles, there are battles that are found only in darkness. The darkness of the imagination. The darkness of the vain imagination of the heart. Okay? When light appears, all things are settled. There is no fight of the darkness to try to remain. No, light is present immediately. When light is present, immediately darkness is not present. It's that simple. When your heart turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Immediately light is present. Darkness is not present. All right? Immediately. There's no struggle. There's no fighting. The darkness is not fighting. There's no, please understand, there's no evil fighting against good in that situation. Okay? There is no resisting in that situation. Light is present. How does it say it? And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. It did not seize upon. It did not overtake. The light is present. Light is triumphant. Okay? Now, also, that's one way of looking at that term. Now, also, it comprehended means basically, as they translated it here in the King James Version, comprehended, learn, to learn. Okay? The darkness didn't learn this. The darkness was not educated unto the light. The darkness didn't gain enough knowledge to know or to come to the light, if you will. Okay? I stated it a second ago, the only struggle there is the struggle that there is at night. If you're struggling with things, then you're struggling with things in your heart. It's night. Okay? There, once the day breaks, the day dawns, once Christ appears as light, the light of life appears, when Christ is revealed, there is no struggle. Now, we don't learn with our natural mind. We don't learn enough to overcome the darkness in that sense. We don't learn enough, gain enough knowledge to overcome and fight the darkness to get to the light. No. It's whenever the heart turns unto the Lord, the veil is removed. Instantly. To them that look for Him shall He appear. The heart. And then once again, it's the heart turning unto the Lord, the veil being removed. As the light. That was John. This, I think Paul is saying just about the exact same thing in Corinthians. And this is 2 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 4. Yes, chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. An allusion there with Genesis chapter 1. Darkness covered the face of the earth. God said, let there be light. There was light. Light shined in the darkness. Okay? Paul's saying, here are hearts. Darkness. God basically says, let there be light. He reveals His Son, the light of life. The light of life. The life that is present is now known to be present. Okay? In the heart. All right. So going on just a little bit. And this is basically the mind of Christ versus the mind of humanity. All right? Where light is present, it is the mind of Christ. Where light is absent, it is the mind of humanity. Once again, the mind of humanity, the understanding of humanity, the mind of Adam cannot attain unto this knowledge. It is beyond searching out. but the Spirit of the Lord, but the Spirit of God hath revealed unto us. Okay? That's the difference. God the Father revealing His Son by His Spirit. When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, to reveal His Son in me. That's the big difference. God revealing His Son versus us trying to, as they did in Genesis, the Tower of Babel, attain unto God, reach unto God, get unto God by fleshly means. Now, the only thing we can do is yield to the dealing of the Holy Spirit, yield to the Spirit of God, and turn our hearts unto the Lord. True repentance, the turning of the heart unto the Lord. Not necessarily turning from, because you can turn from one aspect of darkness unto another aspect of darkness that in your mind seems to be good. Do you remember in Genesis, they ate of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, all found on one tree. Darkness, death, but there was another tree present that they did not eat of, the tree of life. Well, we have already partaken of that life. Christ Himself, He is, because He is in us, the question is, are we continuing to partake? We've already been brought into purpose because purpose Himself has appeared in our souls. The question is, are we continuing in that very purpose, the appearing of Christ? Okay. Now, I want to continue reading here. Here's another verse. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 9:1-5, and I'll just, read these. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? See, there's the issue of man. There's the issue of the religion of man. It's all about sin. Well, who sinned? You sinned. You need to repent from your sin. You need to do this. Sin. Stop sinning. Start doing this. Sin, 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 sin. And all the while, the scriptures are testifying of Christ, not testifying of how to stop sinning, but they are testifying of Christ, that the heart would turn unto the Lord. The Spirit of God, Jesus said, He shall, when He, the Spirit of truth, shall come, He shall testify of me. The Father testifies of His Son. The heart must turn unto the Lord. Okay? And just, I'll hold it right there. And I'll go back to our original passage in 1 John 1:5-10, okay? If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Light, walking in the light, walking in the appearing of Christ, walking in the revealing of the Son. Our hearts being turned, the veil being removed, and us remaining, us continuing in the appearing of Christ, in the appearing of His Son. Okay? Forgiveness of sins is present there. Cleansing of sin is present there in the light. All things are present in Christ. We know them to be present when the light appears, when Christ is revealed, the light of life, when the Son is revealed. We know all these things to be present. It's all present and it's all found in Him. So the issue is never sin or stop sinning or stop doing this or start doing this. No, the issue is always turning unto the Lord, that the veil would be removed and be found in purpose. Fellowship, that's what it said. This is the message which we have heard of Him and declaring to you, that God is light and in Him there is no darkness. If we say we have fellowship, that's what it's about right there. Face to face, that's fellowship. Face to face. Okay. Back to one of the examples of the verses, John 9:1-5. Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." What's it all about, Jesus? This guy sinning, his parents sinning, who sinned? Did this blind guy sin? Why did this thing happen to him? Was it his sin? No, it's not about sin issue. It's about the works of God being made manifest. All right? "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And I do have some notes here, but, well, I may look at them. I may not, depending on time. As long as I am in the world. The term world is Strong's number 2889. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. The exact same Greek term. Strong's number 2889. This term world is just this. Orderly arrangement. It's an orderly arrangement. An apt and harmonious arrangement or constitution, order, government. An orderly arrangement. Orderly arrangement. Here we go. Here we have the scriptures. An orderly arrangement to testify of a God of order. Jesus in John chapter 5:39. Verse 39, "They are they that testify of me." An orderly arrangement. In so detail, in so precise precision to testify and declare of one and nothing less than that one. As long as I am in the world, as long as I am found, as long as my testimony, as long as the scriptures testify of me, which they have testified, they did testify, they do testify, they will testify, continually testify of Christ. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the testimony. I'm the understanding of the testimony. I am the substance of the testimony. I am the purpose for which the testimony exists. I'm the substance of the picture that is found in the scriptures. Orderly arrangement. You can find it in the tabernacle, in the temple. The Lord speaking to Moses, "You shall build it according to the pattern, the arrangement of things that you saw in the mount, the heavenly vision, and not less than what you have seen, because it will not be less than my Son. It will not represent less than my substance, my Christ, my Messiah." So there you have it. And we may look into that into more detail, just depending on time. But it's beautiful there when I saw that verse. Now the other verse, John chapter 12, verse 44 through 47. "Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." Okay? Back over here to our original text. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Verse 6. "If we say that we have fellowship..." I want us to look at Exodus 33. We've looked at this passage before. Whoops. My marker. Probably my marker of Exodus 33. Exodus 33, 9 through 11. "And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Moses had fellowship with the Lord. That is fellowship when it is face to face. If it is, listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, that's one of the main verses throughout this whole class, through this whole series. The heart turns unto the Lord, the veil is removed. And we all, Paul's saying, we all who are born again, we all whose hearts are turned, we all with unveiled face, an unveiled heart, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are transformed into that same image, to bear that same image from glory to glory, from the glory that fadeth to the glory that remaineth. Christ himself, Christ in you, the expectation of glory. Okay, so if we say that we have fellowship, here we go. If you say that you have face-to-face fellowship with God, if you say that your heart is turned and the veil is removed and you are fellowshipping with God, you have fellowship with God, you have communion with God face-to-face, if you say that Christ is appearing in your heart, in your soul, if you say that you are walking in the appearing of Christ, the Father revealing the indwelling Christ in your soul, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Okay. Here we go. Just looking at that verse, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. I want to state a couple of things here. In this epistle of John, John is speaking to the church, to those who are born again. He is not speaking to those who are not born again. He is speaking to those who are born again, to those in whom Christ dwells. Christ dwells in these. Okay? If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, listen, we can be born again and in our hearts abide in darkness. There is a new creation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, the new is come. All things are become new. We can be born again, and in our hearts, the light of life not yet appear. We can be born again and resist the work of the Spirit of God that would say, let there be light. We can be born again and resist the very purpose for which we were created, to continue in the appearing of Christ. We can be born again and we can walk in the vain imagination of our heart. We can walk in darkness. It says it right there. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Why? How does he state these things? Brothers and sisters, if our hearts are turned unto the Lord, the veil is removed, we have fellowship, and we walk in the light. Because the light is present. The light of life is present. Light is present. When light is present, we have fellowship with God. Automatic. It's face to face. It is found the glory of God to give us, to shine in us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's right there. Fellowship, face to face. It's always face to face. It's communion, face to face. All right? So I just wanted to state that you can be born again and you can be walking in darkness. In our own minds, in our own hearts, in our own imagination. That's what it comes down to. Our own understanding. We can be born again, truly, genuinely born again, and yet abide in darkness in our hearts. Translated in, out of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love, and yet in our hearts abide in darkness. Just like we saw in John, the example in John chapter 9. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which is born blind from his birth. Christ must be revealed. The light of life must appear. the day must dawn. Okay. Now, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, but if our hearts are indeed turned, the veil is removed, and we have fellowship with God, communion with God, and the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ is apparent, walking in the appearing of Christ. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship. Automatically. First, fellowship with God, then fellowship one with another. How? Those also, as Paul said, but we all whose hearts, we all who are born again, we all whose hearts are turned and the veil is removed, we all have fellowship in the light. There is no fellowship of light with darkness. There's only fellowship in the light. Okay? And I know that we've degraded the term fellowship. We've brought it down to a human level. Man, we've given it man's definition and say, oh, we're just hanging out. We're just fellowshipping. Well, truly, according to the scriptures, the only fellowship truly that is found in light. And for fellowship to be found, your heart must be turned to the Lord. The veil must be taken away. And then fellowship is found. First, fellowship with God, because it's face to face, communion face to face, and then it's fellowship with all those who are walking in that very same fellowship, who are walking in that very same communion, who are walking in that very same day, who are walking in that very same appearing of Christ, revealing of Christ. It's all very simple and found only in the face of Jesus Christ. Very simple. All right, going on. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Automatically, you're cleansed from your sins. It's automatically there. Forgiveness is found in him. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Not you, brother or sister so-and-so, the righteous. Not me, the righteous. No, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is made unto us righteousness. We have no righteousness apart from Christ. He is unto us righteousness. Okay? Always. We look. The Father looks unto his Son. We also are purposed to look unto his Son. It's the same. All right. Let's see. Yeah. They are they that testify of me. Oh. this is... I'm going way back to where I looked at that term. Where was it? The term world, Strong's number 2889. This was the online Bible Greek lexicon on that. It's the orderly arrangement, the harmonious arrangement or constitution, order, government. Any aggregate or general collection of particulars of any sort, the Gentiles as contrasted to the Jews. I like that. All right. They are they that testify of me. All right. Now going on, I just want us to look at back on from our original text, 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. If we say that we have fellowship, I just want to look at that term fellowship. I know we looked at it in Exodus 33, 9 through 11, where Moses is found having communion face to face. Moses is found in fellowship with the Lord face to face. In the Strong's Greek lexicon, that actual term that's used there, Strong's number 2842, for the term fellowship, is a partnership. That is literally participation. There you go. Translated into the English as communicate, communion, fellowship, in some other words, but participation. We have been made partakers. The question is, whom of us are then partaking? That's it. Whom of us are then turning our hearts that the veil would be removed and we partake? We have fellowship, communion, face to face. I love that. Okay, this is the online Bible Greek lexicon for the same term fellowship. Sorry, I had to underline some things real quick. It's basically says this, fellowship, association, community, communion, joint participation, to share which one has, the share which one has in anything, participation. David said, the Lord is my portion. We have no other portion, even us. We have no other portion than Christ himself. He's our portion. He doesn't give us something. He gives us himself. Intercourse, fellowship, intimacy. It's all wrapped up in the face of Jesus Christ. All found there. All right. I want to look. We've got a little bit of time left. I want to look at this other passage. It's not too long, and I won't read all the commentary on it. But just this is 1 John chapter 2, and there we go. Someone's phone just went off. Before we were reading and looking at 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, but now we're looking at 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. All right, so I'll just go ahead and read that passage. And hereby we do know that we know him. All right? This is how we know that we know him. If we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily the love of God is perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Okay. First thing I wanted to look at, and the reason why I chose this particular verse for us to look at, is because we have this concept. I believe we covered in a previous class, all based upon this one verse that Jesus said, I know that you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. They are they. The scriptures testify of me. So, and we've looked at it. So here comes Moses with the two tables of testimony. And we looked at the verses in Exodus that declared that very term testimony. But we still see this as the two tables of list of do's and don'ts. There's a huge difference in that. A huge difference, okay? And hereby we do know that we know him. If we keep his commandments, if we do or not do, if we continue to do or try to do and not do, okay? I just wanted us to look at this term. We keep is Strong's number 5083, okay? And this is a Strong's Greek lexicon. It means to guard from loss or injury, properly by keeping the eye upon. Okay. I'll give you an example. Here's my red pen. If I tell you, here, keep my red pen, you're going to, as it says here, you'll probably take it, hold on to it, guard it, keep it from loss or falling, right? You're not going to try to do my red pen. Do you understand the different, the two different concepts are going on right here? Two different concepts, all right? To keep, okay? To guard from loss or injury. Properly, to keep the eye upon. To keep the eye upon. They are they that testify of me. Listen, to not violate the scriptures. To keep the eye upon the scriptures, knowing that they testify of Christ and nothing less. Not violating the scriptures. Not causing the scriptures to try to make the scriptures testify of something else other than Christ. Not violating the scriptures. But to keep in a beautiful harmony. How did that one word term read? Orderly arrangement. To keep in an orderly arrangement the scriptures that they testify of Christ. And to see, the scriptures will not change, okay? Please listen. The scriptures, they testify of Christ, period. Jesus said, they are they that testify of me. The Father ordered it that way to be a testimony of his Son. The question is, will man in his heart violate that testimony? Will man in his heart undo the orderly arrangement and reorder things according to the mind of man to testify of something less than Christ? Okay, no longer keeping the word, no longer keeping the command, no longer keeping the law. Jesus also said later on in John 5, chapter 5, if you had believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. The law and the prophets to testify, and do testify, and will testify forever of Christ. Nothing less. Nothing less. Okay. To guard from loss or injury, properly by keeping the eye upon. And it's not the natural eye, once again. It's the eye of the heart, the eye of the soul. Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, being transformed into that same image from glory to glory. All right? Going on, and this is Strong's Greek Lexicon, going on, that is to note a prophecy, figuratively to fulfill a command. To note a prophecy, figuratively to fulfill a command. Watch. Listen to this. The fulfillment of the law. The fulfillment of the law. Let's look at Matthew. This is Matthew chapter 5. Verse 17. Beautiful. This is Jesus himself speaking. Think not that I am come to destroy the law, right? Or to get rid of the law. Think not that I have come to destroy or get rid of the law. Think not that I am come to destroy or get rid of the scriptures. Don't think that. Right? Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets, the scripture that testify of Christ. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. But to fulfill. And did he? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Lo, in the volume of the book, it speaks of me, to do thy will, O God. It's found in Hebrews chapter 10. We may or may not get there. He cometh to take away the first that he may establish the second. He hath fulfilled the will of the Father. He is the obedient Son. He is obedient. He did fulfill the will of the Father. He did fulfill the law and the prophets. He is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. If I have a driver's license, and it has a perfect description of me, even a photograph of me. You can learn so much of me through that driver's license. When I show up in my presence, when I appear before the one who has my driver's license, I'm the fulfillment of that. That is nothing. It exists. It exists with one purpose, to declare me, but now I am come. Okay, just a real basic example. Now I'm here. I'm the fulfillment of it. I'm the real thing. Okay? The Jews wanted the picture. They held on to the picture. They didn't want the real thing. They rejected him. He came unto his own received him not. But as many as did receive him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Okay, and the verse goes on and on. But continuing on with this passage, the term we keep, Strong's number 5083, excuse me, translated, this is still Strong's Hebrew lexic, Greek lexicon, translated into the English as hold fast, keep watch. Now this is the online Bible Greek lexicon for the same term, and it's Tereo. I think it's like, you pronounce it like that. Strong's number 5083, Tereo. To attend to carefully, take care of. They speak of Christ and nothing less. Guard the testimony. Guard the scripture. Guard the testimony. And let it not in your heart. Let your heart not bring disorder and cause it to testify of something less than Christ. But in the scripture, if you see the testimony of Christ, declare that very testimony and nothing less. No man save Jesus only. Okay? To guard, metaphorically, to keep one in the state in which he is. I like that. Keep the heart turned unto the Lord and walking in the light. Very simple. It goes on, the same Strong's number 5083, Tereo. This is the exegetical dictionary of the New Testament, and I'll just read a little bit of it. Occurrences in the Septuagint and the New Testament. Number 2, guard. Number 3, preserve, maintain. Number 4, keep in unblemished condition. I like that. Keep in unblemished condition. Once again, not coming short of its true object. Keep it in your heart, not coming short of its true object. The glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. They are they that testify of me. Nothing less. The object of the scripture is Christ himself. I could read on more in these passages, but I'm not going to. They're just more lexicons declaring the same. To keep in view, Christ is the sum total of all. This is my comment here. Christ is the sum total of all the testimony of the scripture. Protect the scripture from falling in one's heart, protecting the scripture from falling short of the testimony of Christ. Keeping the heart turned unto the Lord and therefore walking in light. And I make several comments like that. Let me just see if I can find that passage real quick before we go on. In Hebrews 10. Yeah, it was the passage I was thinking of was Hebrews 10, verses 1 through 9. And it's just speaking of Christ, the fulfillment of the law, how Christ fulfilled the law. And the last passage that I'd like for us to look at, I know we've covered a whole lot, but the last passage that I'd like for us to look at is the passage in Hebrews 12, which talks about running the race. And I just want us to read it. It's basically Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. Wherefore, seeing, and every single time that I've tried to cover this, revolving, I guess, dealing with sin, sin is never the predominant issue here. It always revolves around Christ. It always is. They are they that testify of me. Jesus didn't say, they are they that testify of getting out of sin. No, they are they that testify that you need to quit sinning. No, they are they that testify that you need to get your act together. No. They are they that testify of me. Everything else is automatic. Okay? Everything else is automatic from that appearing of Christ. So we looked at keeping the word. I love this. I'll just read it, 1 John 2, 3-5. I'll just read it again. We've already read it and discussed it. And thereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Beautiful. And the last passage that I just wanted us to look at, once again, is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. And I'll just read this real quick. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. All right. Stop right there. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, I think he was previously talking about the Hebrews chapter 11, where he goes through the heroes of faith. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The question is, how? How? That's the question that comes into everyone's mind. How do I do this? How do I, we always try to make it applicable to me. All right. How do I lay aside every weight? How do I lay aside the sin which doth so easily beset us? How do I run with patience the race that is set before me? How? It's the big how. The answer is verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. The heart turned unto the Lord, the veil removed, looking unto Jesus. In looking unto Jesus, you have laid aside every weight. In looking unto Jesus, you have laid aside the sin which doth so easily beset us. In looking unto Jesus, you are running with patience the race that is set before us. All automatic in looking unto Jesus, in Christ being revealed in you, in walking in the light as he is in the light, in the appearing of Christ, continuing in the appearing of Christ. All these things are automatic in the appearing of Christ. Now the thing is, we go back to it, verse 1, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us. Is the goal not to sin? No. The goal has nothing to do with sin. The goal is Christ himself. The goal, the end, the prize. Right here, the writer of Hebrews is using basically this. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Like in the Olympics, running a race. The goal, the prize, the finish line, the bullseye, running a race. To get to the end, to come to the finish, to come to the purpose for which you're running, the goal, Christ himself, the appearing of Christ, looking unto Jesus. That is the prize. Christ himself is the prize. Looking unto Jesus, you win the prize. Looking unto Jesus, you come to the end of the race. Looking unto Jesus, it's all the heart turning unto the Lord, the veil being removed. The goal, the appearing of Christ, the appearing of light, the revealing of the Son. Nothing less. And automatic, as seen here, the weights, every weight is laid aside. Also, the sins which doth so easily beset us are laid aside. And also, herein, we run with patience the race. Only looking unto Jesus. Only as our hearts are turning unto the Lord. So I've covered a whole lot in this particular class. So I've got about 8 minutes left. So I'm just, I guess on a recap real quick, because I've got the time to do it. From 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, it is possible for one to be born again and walk in darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. There you go. fellowship being face-to-face communion with God. God is light. Also, we saw in John chapter 9, verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. As long as He will always be in this orderly arrangement. He will always be. His testimony will always be in the Scriptures. Always. Therefore, He will always be the light of the Scriptures. He will always be the light of the Scriptures. The understanding by which to read the Scriptures. The understanding by which to know the Scriptures. Because they are they that testify of Me. See, we've to keep or not to keep, to keep versus not to do. And hereby we do know, this was 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments to guard from loss or injury properly by keeping the eye upon, not violating the Scriptures, but keeping them as the testimony that they are, keeping them in our hearts as the testimony that they are, testifying of Christ. And then also running the race by looking unto Jesus. The goal is always the appearing of Christ and nothing less. The goal is always Christ. The light shineth. How did I read it? The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was no overtaking of the darkness here. There was no seizing upon of the darkness here. No. There's no struggle, no battle, no struggle that we have to struggle with to come to the light. No, no, no. When the light is present, the darkness is absent. When the light is present, there is no struggle. When the light is present, there is no wrestling. All that takes place at night. At night. So that's basically the end of this class. And may the Lord just continually deal with our hearts, knowing that we are purposed, our souls are purposed for the appearing of Christ. Nothing less. Nothing less than the appearing of Christ. The goal is the appearing of Christ. Everything else is automatic out of this appearing. Everything else is automatic as we continue walking in the light, as He is in the light. Everything else is automatic. Everything else. And it's all found in the face of Jesus Christ. Fellowship. Fellowship. Everything is found there. Forgiveness of sins is found there. Everything. Light is found there. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So, with that I'll end, and as I said, may the Lord continue to deal with our hearts, that our hearts would turn, that the veil would be removed, and that we would behold Him, that we would walk in light, that we would walk in the day, that we would walk in the light as He is in the light, that we would walk in the purpose for which our souls were created, that we would walk in fellowship. Amen.